It is loud out there.
You can hear that, can't you?
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck them.
Fuck them, Dano.
That the sound is recording, right?
Everything's recording.
Oh, Dano.
Oh, Dano.
Dan.
Schmo?
How's it going, Ryan?
It's going great, Brian. How are you?
Good. I hear you have a question for me.
I do.
What is it?
Does mindset matter?
I think we are going to find out here pretty quick.
Let's get into it.
Let's go. So in this episode, Ryan and I are going to touch on mindset and how that applies to momentum, whether that's negative momentum or positive momentum. And so there's really kind of two types of mindsets that there are, right?
There's two types.
What's the first?
There's many types, but we're going to talk about two types today.
Yeah, the two main categories. There's a fixed mindset, and then there's a growth mindset.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about the fixed mindset.
The fixed mindset is just saying, hey, you did a good job. It is thinking that, well,
it's like you're given a set of talents, right?
Yeah.
It's like you're just born with your ability and you can never improve beyond what you were born with.
You are or you're not.
Yeah. It's an either or thing.
It's black and white.
Yep.
A growth mindset, we get into the gray.
Yeah.
You get into building and honestly, we talked about it a few weeks ago, failing.
Yeah. Working on failing faster to find the success and to get there quicker. And then the interesting thing about a fixed mindset is you believe that your abilities and your traits cannot change. And so I think sports is always a good analogy for this. I think people with a given set of talent don't think they're ever going to get beyond where they're currently at. And yet the people that don't necessarily possess the God-given talent who go in there and work hard and persevere, they overcome and end up being the best at their craft.
Michael Jordan's a great example.
He
got cut, and he went in and worked his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
He made the team, and, well, in my opinion, he's the GOAT.
And it kind of reminds me of this quote, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's kind of a growth mindset, isn't it?
It is a growth mindset.
So for those of you, the reason why Ryan and I wanted to talk about mindset is in the real estate and loan industry right now, there is just so much going on. I mean, between the NAR settlement and all of the confusion around that and how is that going to be changing the landscape of real estate to we're not seeing the Fed cut rates like everybody thought they would be cutting. So interest rates are being stubbornly high right now.
They're on a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I mean, they are as volatile as I've seen them in my whole career.
Right. And so in these, what I would call dark times, because they are dark times, guys. I mean, this is like one of the worst markets we've seen in 30 years.
Yeah, let's not sugarcoat it.
Yeah, we're not going to sugarcoat it. I think it's really important that we all rally around each other and help each other keep a strong mindset and a growth mindset, even in the darkest of times. This is when we need each other the most. And that's why Ryan and I decided we wanted to do this episode today so we can kind of spread a message of hope and positivity out there.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's dig into mindset a little bit more, Ryan. Let's discuss how you can just go from this fixed mindset, you know, because right now we kind of have a mindset of scarcity versus abundance. The market's tighter. There's more people competing for less business all across the board in all areas of the real estate transaction and the loan transaction. So what can we do right now?
Don't be afraid to go out and try new things.
I like that.
Don't be afraid that some of those new things aren't going to work.
Right.
Just grow. I mean, one thing that we've been doing this year is reading books, and it's
a ton of them.
Helped me immensely over the last few months. I just looked the other day, and I'm on track. I'm actually a little ahead of track. I want to read 50 this year. I'm at 16 so far year to date. But learning to change not only your mindset but your thought process is how you grow. Instead of just thinking, "Oh man, that's so big, and I can't get past you know, this little things. Break it down into small little chunks and make every little chunk a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, racking up those small little wins every day. And I also think that's important. That kind of goes into self-talk. I've done a lot of that with my coach. The words you choose to speak, more importantly than to other people, to yourself, has one of the greatest impacts on your mindset. So if you're constantly under your breath saying, oh, gosh, you know, you suck, you can't do this, you've created a limiting mindset for yourself, or a fixed mindset that you're never going to be any better than what you already are. And that's honestly the most terrible thing you could do to yourself.
Well, nobody talks to you more than you.
And nobody is the harshest critic other than you against yourself.
That is correct.
For all you realtors out there, all of our friends in real estate and loans, we love you. If you need to talk to somebody, reach out to us. We want to help lift you up and get you into a better headspace so that we can overcome this rough time and be better for it.
Yeah. I think there's so many opportunity in these rough times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a limiting belief and a limiting mindset to think that the sky is falling and the opportunity is gone and the buyers aren't there. And for us, the buyers and or refis, they're not there. That is a limiting mindset. And to open up your mind and think about different ways we can do things is a growth mindset. And
right.
It takes a community to have a growth mindset. I think collaboration is 100% key to that.
I totally agree with that. It's having a tribe and a community around you to help promote that positive mindset. It's interesting because I was thinking back to when we kind of transferred out of banked retail into the broker side and the wholesale channel. One of the things that I did, I took a risk and I went ahead and worked on getting my license in 8 other states.
Yeah.
With the understanding that, hey, I may or may not get loans in those states, but it's more opportunity that I've created for myself, potential opportunity. And the interesting thing I found out, so as I've done a few loans in some of these other states, since the Puget Sound region is so highly competitive with these high caliber loan officers and real estate agents, like we have arguably one of the most competitive, tough markets to, like, you have to be on your A game all the time to stay in conversation to get referrals from real estate agents and other people, because there are so many great loan officers in our market, like retail and broker. I mean, there's so many great people. And what I found is, like, in some of these other markets where there just isn't that level of professionalism, I mean, people are blown away, like, oh my God, I've never had service like this. So there's an example of opportunity that was created through taking a risk and not limiting yourself to just, oh, I can only do loans in this state and that's it. So that's one example.
Yeah. Why don't you talk about incorporating yet?
So yeah, in self-talk, I can't do this. That's, you know, a typical conversation we have with ourselves. So instead of saying, I can't do this, add yet. I can't do this yet.
Yet.
So what you're doing is you're telling your subconscious that it's possible. And by knowing that it's possible, now you can work towards that.
Like I said, break it down into small little chunks.
Mm-hmm.
You can use yet. You have an end goal, but you break that end goal into, let's call it 10 different things. I can't do the end goal yet. Well, no, you can't, but you can do the first little thing yet. Yet being now.
Yeah.
And maybe that takes you a couple of days. And shoot, maybe along the way on that first little stage, you take a step backwards. Well, so what? You're going to get past that first stage and then you're going to, you know, maybe reward yourself, maybe not. Maybe you just go on to the second stage, but you map it all out to get to the end. And the end is the ultimate goal and is the yet.
Yeah. So if you can't think you can get there, but instead you change that dialogue to yet, then that, like you said, now you can create kind of a roadmap on how to get to that yes.
Yes.
It's not there yet, but it can be there. And that kind of speaks to embracing challenges. And challenges are our greatest teacher. Like, this market is going to be such a tremendous teacher if we learn to embrace that. It doesn't really get any harder than this. Honestly, like, in our careers for where we're at, this might arguably be the hardest market we will ever see in our career. And if we can find a way to get through this and become better people, better loan officers, better salespeople, better human beings for it, what a great opportunity.
Kudos for anybody who's still in the business,
yes.
Both real estate and lending. we've lost, lending's lost over 50% in the last 18 months. Real estate agents, I'm not sure what that number is, but I know on the lending side, it's over 50%. And being able to persevere and get through this, coming out on the other side is going to look really nice for those people who have persevered and tried new things and have the growth mindset.
Yep. And working on, yes, expanding beyond your limiting belief system, and also like embracing the self-care aspect of things too. It's really important that you take care of yourself on the journey, because you got to be strong for other people and for yourself.
Yeah.
It's really important. Now, all this kind of ties into just an amazing weekend in sports. Let's talk about the Masters, Ryan, because I know this is your favorite sporting event of the entire year.
The Masters is hands down my favorite week of the year. Thursday through Sunday, I watch literally every single minute that it's televised. And right now, world number one is Scottie Scheffler. And the way he conducted himself through the 4 days was incredible. You know, we get to Sunday, and he's one ahead of Max Homa, who's in second. And then there's three or four guys down below him, and there was five people within four strokes of the lead.
And which on that golf course can change within a hole or two just like that.
Yeah, and there was a couple huge swings. The guys behind, you know, they interviewed Max Homa, and he said, I tried to push. When you're playing really well, you don't have to try and push, and I tried to push, and I went backwards. You know, and I look at Scottie Scheffler, and he had a couple hiccups throughout the round. He had three bogeys, and so easily that can derail you. It's so hard to be on top and have everybody catching you. And his bounce back statistics are huge. But one of the coolest things that I saw the whole week wasn't even playing. It was after the Masters was done. Scottie Scheffler walks off the 18th green, and he has the mindset, the awareness to not walk to the clubhouse by himself. He calls his caddy up to walk ahead of him and walk with him to the clubhouse. That's a really cool...
Dude, that was really cool.
There are times in my life that I have failed at putting people first in situations just like that, and I hope that I've learned, but that was a really eye-opening thing for me to watch him call his caddy up. His wife is at home because she's due in like 3 weeks. He said Saturday night, maybe it was Friday. No, yeah, I think it was
Friday.
Friday, yeah. He said, if I get the call and my wife is in labor, I'm leaving no matter where I'm at in this tournament. He goes, if I'm in the lead tomorrow night, I'm leaving.
And if you've watched Full Swing on Netflix, which is a documentary on the current professional golf players, they do a lot of filming of Scottie Scheffler and his wife. He is like the best dude. Like, seriously, he is just he's a better human than he is an athlete, which is saying a lot.
He's an incredible human.
Yep. And he puts that ahead of the sport itself. So he never allows the sport to become bigger than life itself. So it's just a game. And the fact that he's able to stay in that mindset and not let that pressure get to him. And he, as I watched that final round, I watched the entire final round on Sunday. I just watched him like swing after swing. He was just focused solely on the moment and just executing the swing the best he could. Was not focused on the leaderboard, wasn't worried about anybody else, tuned out the crowd.
It looked like he was inflappable, which is absolutely amazing in somebody in that position. I don't care how many majors you have. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care. When you're in the lead of the Masters on the back nine,
the adrenaline can start shooting through
you. It messes with people. I mean, people have absolutely fallen apart on many, many, not only golf tournaments, but many majors. I mean, there's lots of documentation of people falling apart, even on the 18th hole. Rory McIlroy in 2012 had like a 6-shot lead going in the back nine and absolutely fell apart.
Well, back, was it 2019 when Tiger won his last one? Brooks Koepka and some of those other stud golfers in this current era just completely fell apart because they heard the roar of Tiger coming behind them, and they completely fell apart.
I mean, if we're going to talk about mindset and golfers, there's nobody better than Tiger, in my opinion. Just his presence scared people. Mm-hmm. The roars of the patrons at Augusta National, if they weren't playing with him, The roars for Tiger were different. He had that. He had that it. He had that yet. He had that.
And you know what he did too, which is, speaking of mindset and growth versus fixed. So he had settled on a certain swing, which was he was winning all the majors, and he wasn't satisfied with that. He said, I'm going to change my swing. And everybody said, you're crazy to change your swing. You're winning right now. But he felt like he had to change his swing. And so there was like probably like a year there where he was going through the change in his swing where he wasn't performing as high of a level. But what happened? He ultimately started winning again.
And dominating
again. And dominated again. Yeah.
He knew that his swing, he did this multiple times in his career.
He did.
I think he changed his swing 3 or 4 times. But he knew that it was going to set him back for a certain period of time. But he knew that if he would stick with it and have that yet mindset of getting to the end, he would absolutely start crushing people again. He always had the mental aspect. But changing your swing as a professional athlete, or changing anything as a professional athlete, no matter what sport you're in, is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Masters exemplifies mindset. So a lot of the players who kind of folded under the pressure, they didn't think that they could catch up to Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
And Scottie Scheffler never wavered under that pressure. He just believed in himself, and he stuck with just playing the best shot in the moment that he could without focused on anybody else and the external noise of everything.
He took his lumps throughout the last round. Like I said, he had 3 bogeys. I believe that's the most bogeys he had all week. And he never followed a bogey with another bogey. He either had a par or a birdie to follow that up.
Yeah. Dude, just spectacular. You can't really get much better sports analogy than winning the Masters for mindset, can you?
Well, in my opinion, there's nothing better than the Masters.
It was so fun, dude. Yeah, so just kind of wrapping this up here. Look, people, just focus on building a growth mindset. You know, tap into books. I mean, reach out to Ryan or myself. We've got a whole list of books that we've been jumping into that really focus on personal growth and development and mindset. It's all related.
We're creating a library in our office. So if you want to borrow some books, we have some. Not only on mindset and growth in business, but I'm really starting to get into fictional books and liking that also. And you learn from those also.
Yeah, you do. Reading is just fantastic. And you've been really, I need to catch up. I've been kind of wavering here, but you know what? It's not how you start. It's how you finish.
That's right.
That's a mindset.
That is a mindset.
It's, you know what today is?
It's another great day.
Let's go.
Have a good week.